You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Graybar Sports Open Line on a Tuesday night. Nate Gatter in for Matt Pauly. Are you buying or are you selling? That's going to be the dominant question for the Cardinals over the next 2.5 weeks before the trade deadline at the end of the month. Are you a buyer? Are you a seller? The Cardinals were trending surprisingly maybe toward buyer status, a little bit of a swoon going into the All-Star break. Now maybe that status has changed. Are you unsure? If you were John Mozeliak, would you be waiting still another 7, 10, 14 days to try to make your decision on some of these guys? You know, most high profile would be Ryan Helsley and to a lesser degree Phil Maton at the back end of the Cardinals bullpen on these rental contracts in the sense that they'll be expiring at the end of the year. Where's the mind at on that? And what's contributing to those decisions? We're going to talk to Brad Thompson in just about 10 minutes, the Cardinals analyst on television on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest, kind enough to take a few minutes out of his well-deserved All-Star break on this Tuesday evening. We're going to get to your calls and texts and tweets as well. If you want to be part of the conversation, you can call us at 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900 to weigh in on the Cardinals and where they stand going into the break, what you want to see coming out of it, how you're feeling about how the season has gone so far, by any measure, exceeding expectations from what they were coming into this year. And then critically, what is the mindset going into the deadline? This was always going to be the case for the Cardinals. It was always going to be that the first season ended at the end of July. It was always going to be that the Cardinals had to make a decision on what the rest of the year was going to look like by the end of July. And we all thought, I think, coming into the year, it was more likely than not they would be sellers. Certainly in mid-April, after the start the Cardinals got off to, the feeling was it was a virtual impossibility. Somebody like Ryan Helsley would be a Cardinal on August 1st. You know, maybe that has changed now. Certainly circumstances have changed considerably since that time. It wouldn't be unreasonable for thought processes to change. At the same time, you can't just throw out the window all the planning that this organization is doing, everything the Cardinals have done to kind of realign, in some ways modernize, in some ways tweak or even overhaul philosophies and try to position themselves for longer term success. That can't just go by the wayside because there are a few games above 500 at the All-Star break. So I think this is the kind of very, very interesting topic where reasonable minds can disagree for a variety of different reasons. And so if you are a reasonable mind, and who among us is not, we invite you to be part of that conversation. 314-436-7900. You can comment on our stream across Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You can tweet us at KMOX Sports, as a number of people have, along with participating in the KMOX Sports poll that we put up on Twitter about an hour and a half ago. 330 people have responded so far. The poll question is, what should the Cardinals do at the trade deadline? And the options are buy, sell, and not sure yet. Right now, 69% of you say sell. Only 16% say buy. 15% say not sure yet. Now, that maybe there's a little bit of splitting the vote happening there because we have three options instead of two. The people who are inclined to sell are probably more likely to feel confident about that fact at this time, whereas a lot of people who might lean buy are going to say not sure yet because you don't have to commit to buying right now. You could wait another 10 to 14 days and do your buying right up against the deadline. But still, even if you consolidate those, all the not sure yet people as buys, we're still at 7 out of 10 saying sell, only 3 out of 10 saying buy. That surprises me a little bit. Given the season the Cardinals have had, I wonder if it's reflective of two things. Number one, that Cardinals fans have become, especially Cardinals fans who are online regularly, have become as a monolith sort of more pessimistic now than they were certainly 10 years ago, even maybe as compared to 3 or 4 years ago, because of the results the Cardinals have had, and also because of maybe how they feel the approach has been on a just philosophical level in a systemic way, what they feel has come from the front office and has come from ownership. At the same time, the Cardinals have vastly overperformed, I think, anybody's reasonable expectations for most of this year. Certainly they have since those early season struggles. They've played really, really good and compelling baseball with some young guys to get excited about. Obviously, some of those sell people are also just folks who say this is about building for the future. They're not upset about the Cardinals. They're not taking anything away from how the Cardinals have played this year, but they're not willing to make any substantial subtractions from what might be in 26 or 27 or 28 in order to fuel what would likely be a wild card run, best case scenario, a division title, and a serious uphill battle to the pennant, let alone the World Series, for the Cardinals at this point. This is going to be the theme of the show. We're going to come back to it. We'll also, in the second hour, spend some time talking soccer with both Tom Timmerman and Bill McDermott. But we're going to be coming back to this Cardinals trade deadline discussion, and it's going to be present tomorrow and Thursday as well on Sports Open Line. So if you're still turning your thoughts and your comments over in your mind, you can join us one of those days. But we would love to have you part of the show. 314-436-7900. You can tweet us, as several people have. We'll get to those messages later in the show. You can also listen on the free Odyssey app and use the TalkBack feature to leave us a voice message that can be played on the air. We'll take a break. Brad Thompson of FanDuel Sports Network Midwest joins us on the other side. You're listening to the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Graybar Sports Open Line continues. Nate Gatter in for Matt Pauly, and we are joined now by Brad Thompson. You hear him as the television analyst for the Cardinals on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Brad, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out of your All-Star break to be with us.
No problem, Nate. Thanks for having me. How you doing, man?
We are doing well here. Kyle Sixta running things in our studio. We are having a great time this evening. Obviously, the Cardinals were able to come from behind to get that win on Sunday and at least go into the All-Star break with a little bit of good vibes, and they needed them after that game stretched on the way it had. What a way to get swept that would have been after the multiple rain delays. But at the same time, obviously not quite as good those vibes around the team as they had been a week or two prior. It's been a little bit of an up and down streaky last few weeks for the Cardinals going into the break. In your mind, what's kind of the state of the union of where the team's at right now?
Well, I think, first of all, a break was much needed for this group. As you could tell coming down the stretch, man, they were just worn out. And you looked at that ball game on Sunday, to your point, 4 hours and 2 minutes of rain delay isn't exactly what you're hoping for as you head out on an All-Star break. But you had guys that just weren't available. Arenado wasn't in the lineup. Newt went to the IL. Gorman's back acted up on him. He wasn't available. Like, they need a little time to rest and recoup. So I think that this All-Star break is coming at the perfect time right now, Nate. But when you look at this ball club, look, I feel like big picture view of it coming from spring training to where we're at, for the Cardinals to be sitting here and they're a game and a half out of the wild card, 6.5 games back in the Central, handful of games over 500. This is a team that I think has overperformed what a lot of people on the outside expected. Internally, as you know, this team had a lot higher expectations for themselves. I feel like they have battled. They have put themselves in the thick of things. And I feel like for the crew that they have, the offseason that they had, and the young guys they've given that, we'll use their term, runway to, I feel like they've done a pretty darn good job of being competitive this year.
So one of the things that we've been talking about is obviously how the Cardinals are going to approach the trade deadline. And it's easy, I think, for those of us in the media who have never been part of a clubhouse at this level to say, well, the Cardinals are building for the future. That's been the thought process always, that this was going to be a transitional year. They have overperformed. They deserve credit for that. It doesn't change the overall organizational direction. That's always about multiple years and even 5-year stretches of planning rather than reacting to a particularly good month or bad month. On the other hand, the nature of the transitional year is that it's about giving the runway and developing these younger players. And I wonder if from your experience being in Major League clubhouses, if you worry at all organizationally about the message it sends to some of these younger guys, if when they're playing the best baseball that they've experienced at the major league level so far in their careers, the team then sells off some key pieces, even if it's just bullpen guys, sells off some pieces and makes it harder on them to win in August and September, rather than giving them almost a higher quality runway, if you will, where they get some experience of what is August and September baseball like when you've got a lot on the line.
Welcome to the president of baseball operations office, because that's exactly what John Mozeliak and Chaim Bloom and the entire crew is hemming and hawing about right now. And I really do believe that while you're taking care of every scenario in your mind, right? The pieces that if you're going to sell, these are the pieces you're going to sell. If you're going to buy, these are some of the targets you'd think to acquire. If you're going to go somewhere in the middle, here are some of the ways that you could possibly do this. But I really believe for the reason that where the Cardinals are currently, this is going to come down to the wire of the decision making. Like, where is it like on the day, couple days, eve of the trade deadline? Because you bring up a really good point, Nate. Like, you can't go out there and these guys are in the thick of things, they're playing their butts off, and then you go ahead and say, yeah, but we're rebuilding, what you did doesn't matter. Well, that is a blow, right? And that is something that hangs with guys, and then you have that bad taste in your mouth about it, even though your said goal was the future. That doesn't mean you go out there and you acquire the best ace out there, or you go out and get the biggest right-handed bat on the market, which we all know the Cardinals can use some more right-handed thumb. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean you're sacrificing your future for it, but maybe you can find different ways to tweak the roster. But this is going to be the most interesting trade deadline in a long time, and I promise you I didn't think that coming in this year that was going to be the case. But the Cardinals have a few pieces that I'm sure teams are going to look at. You mentioned some bullpen guys. Obviously, Helsley is a guy that teams will look at. Phil Maton is a guy that teams would absolutely look at. Think even what Steven Matz has been able to do on an expiring contract, somebody who's served a pivotal role there, eating up some innings in the middle and being a bridge to the back end of the bullpen. It's a tough, tough decision. I honestly don't have a lean one way or the other right now, Nate, of which direction they're going to go.
Brad Thompson, Cardinals television analyst on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest, is with us. You make a good point about how I don't think a lot of us would have expected the trade deadline to have this much intrigue for the Cardinals this year. Not that they weren't going to be involved, but I think we all would have been assuming that at least as far as the expiring contract relievers went, if we talked in March or April, it was much more likely the Cardinals were going to be selling those guys than considering keeping them or even trying to acquire more. In the broad scope of it, though, I always wonder what this couple of weeks must be like in clubhouses, because I would think outside of down the stretch in the season when people are scoreboard watching, this is the time when guys in big league clubhouses are refreshing their phones the most, are just sort of most aware of outside noise in general, especially if you're a guy who could be among those who are moving to another ball club. What do you remember most about how the environment in a clubhouse could change, the week or two leading up to the deadline?
Yeah, it's a great question. You're on hug watch all the time, right? Where everybody's gets that phone call and you're waiting for those hugs goodbye, especially when you know that your team is in a selling position or even the buyers, because you got to give off good pieces to do it. So it's one where everybody knows, if you're an individual whose name is floating around trade rumors, you know about it. Even if you're trying to keep your head out of it, even if you're trying to stay off of X or Instagram or wherever you're getting your news, somebody's telling you. You got an agent, you got family, you've got friends. Like, everybody knows the rumors that are swirling around. And the key part to it is just realizing it's all out of your hands. Like, there's nothing that you can do about it. If you're going to be a piece of one of these deals, the only thing that you can do is continue to set yourself and your team up for success in the next couple of weeks leading into it, because it can be mentally draining. Like, the guy's name that probably gets swirled around the most right now for the Cardinals is probably Eric Fetty. And Fetty even talked about it a couple of starts ago, as he's had his struggles for sure down the stretch of him thinking too much. Now, he was talking about thinking about his mechanics and thinking about pitches and pitch shape and just forgetting to just execute that next pitch. But I guarantee you, some of this stuff that we're talking about here is in his head too. It's like, man, where am I going to be come August? Like, well, what are the options going to be there for me? Am I going to be a part of the Cardinals, this rotation? Like, that stuff is human nature. So the biggest key is, in a clubhouse, leaning on each other. Like, that's when you have good veterans around, and when you have a good clubhouse, and anybody that's been around this Cardinal team and been in this clubhouse, Nate, you know, it's a great group of guys, some really good leadership in that room. I think that's what you have to lean on in times like this, because it can mentally drain you. And if you have a bunch of guys that are mentally drained in the next couple of weeks, I can tell you exactly what the fate looks like at the trade deadline. It's not going to be a fun one.
This last question, it just kind of came to me while you were talking about it, and it's neither here nor there as far as the trade deadline specifically is concerned. I also want to be careful how I ask it, because I don't want to make it sound like you're 100 years old, right? It's been 15 years since you were playing in the major league, so it wasn't all that long ago. But
could have said a handful and some, but you know, 15's fine.
yeah, right. We could say it's been a few. At the same time, even in those years, the ubiquity of social media and just how invasive it is to everybody's life now, everybody's professional existence, it's just a part of almost everyone's day-to-day, has exploded even since 2010. How do you think, if you were playing now, what are you just not on social media at all? Are you trying to just block everything out? Is there a way? I mean, how do you approach that as a player to try to be able to perform mentally and physically at the absolute top level of the sport in the world, while also having this keen awareness of just how many eyes and maybe more importantly, how many Twitter fingers are trained on you at any particular point?
Yeah, look, two things, and I think that's a really good observation. One, ubiquity. Good word. I'm going to get that in on a broadcast soon. Really like that. That's a solid word that you use.
I saw you guys did well on the players' challenge. Speaking of social media, I saw the video of the players giving you guys words to work in, and you guys did quite well.
Snuck them in. Some are harder than others. We had one the other day on Sunday where it was all from social media, all from people. Words were a little bit tougher. Photosynthesis, mm-hmm. Not the easiest to get in, especially when there is zero sun and a four-hour rain delay. Either way. But your question about the social media, man, I have no idea how you hide from things now. Like, even me as a broadcaster, you know, shockingly, not everybody likes you. and it's amazing. I'm a fairly positive person anyhow, and people don't like that when times are not going well. And I will hear about it, whether, you know, they tag me or DM me. Maybe I should close those things up. probably not great for morale most of the time. But it's something now. I don't envy players now with all of the access that fans have. It's a double-edged sword, right? Blessing and a curse, because you can be closer to your fans and you can get your message out. Like, that's the benefit of it, is people can learn who you are. People can learn a little bit more about what makes you tick and what you're into. And it also provides revenue streams for players with different companies. Like, all of those things are really good, but you better be mentally tough if you're going to utilize social media as a tool as a current big league player, because everybody can get to you. All the rumors are there. Not even just trade time, like I'm just talking about. People are going to tell you when you're good. People are going to tell you when you suck. People are going to make up things about you when you know they're not true. Like, it's not easy. And then the idea of, I was always a huge camaraderie guy, right? Like, after a big game or after a big loss, or we're out on the road and it's the first day, like, hey, bullpen, we're going out. We're going to go out to have a drink, and we're going to go have dinner, and we're all going to be together, and we're going to have a good time. Well, now everyone is the paparazzi. So, like, right. You have a guy that goes out and is having a good time with his teammates, which he should be able to do. Every other line of work, you can go out with your people and be good to go. Somebody snaps a picture of you, the next day you go 0-for-4, you give up 2 runs, and all of a sudden, this is a problem. You know what I mean? So it's a tough world that these guys live in, and they navigate it, and I think that there's a reason, that is the reason, that oftentimes on the road, you don't see these guys out, and you don't see the groups collaborating outside. Now, I know they do so inside. They'll have groups together. Some guy will have a suite. Some guy will rent out a place. Like, they'll do their own thing. But you don't get a chance to see it as much. And I hate that for the current player, because I feel like they're missing out on a lot of what it means to be like a real big leaguer and kind of have those connections away from the field.
Does Chip ever get frustrated when you guys are out on the road, how you can't go anywhere together because, you know, just people are taking your picture all the time? He can't have a meal in peace.
Got to be honest. Chip and I are the easiest people to find on the road. First of all, Chip's 7 feet tall. And then you just walk into the hotel, we'll be sitting right there. We'll be having a nice meal at the local restaurant, or maybe a drink at the bar.
Well, Brad, we appreciate your time. Hopefully you can have a nice meal, maybe a drink this evening. Enjoy your All-Star break after these 15 minutes of labor. We appreciate that you worked us in.
No, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me. You guys enjoy your break as well, and we'll get back at it over the weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Brad Thompson from FanDuel Sports Network Midwest joining us here on Graybar Sports Open Line. When we come back, we'll hear from producer Kyle Sixta, Brad Thompson's good friend, about some things going on around the world of baseball, his thoughts on the Home Run Derby, how James Wood completely sold him out from the get-go, his pick to win it, and, you know, does he care about the All-Star game? Do you? No wrong answers. Just talk about it. Graybar Sports Open Line continues after this. Graybar Sports Open Line continues on 104.1 FM KMOX across our streaming options on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, and on the free Odyssey app, streaming live and also available in podcast form on demand. The free Odyssey app, AUDACY. You can leave us a voice message there. You can call us at 314-436-7900. If you missed the great conversation with Brad Thompson, Cardinals analyst on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest, you can go back and hear that at the conclusion of the show as well. Nate Gatter in for Matt Pauly. Producer Kyle Sixta is with me in our downtown studio. He is manning the phone, 314-436-7900, to get in on the conversation about the Cardinals, or later our conversation that will turn to St. Louis City and some of the roster additions coming off their first win in what felt like about 2 years over Portland 2-1 on Sunday, and heading into their match against FC Dallas on Saturday. Tom Timmerman will join us during the second hour around 7:20. He is the city beat writer for the Post-Dispatch. We will also talk to Bill McDermott, Mr. Soccer here locally in St. Louis, who will talk about the U.S. Men's National Team's performance in the Gold Cup, runners-up in the loss to Mexico, how it maybe affects or doesn't affect the outlook for the World Cup on home soil next summer. That's all to come in our second hour here of Graybar Sports Open Line. First, though, Kyle, I want to do a couple of things. The first and most important is to hold you accountable for having told our listeners yesterday that James Wood was the pick in the Home Run Derby. James Wood was not the pick in the Home Run Derby. He finished sixth out of eight in the opening round. He did not qualify for the semifinals, though I should be accountable as well, because I did mention the name Jazz Chisholm briefly. I wouldn't say he was my pick, and I later made O'Neill Cruz my official pick. He did pretty well, but I did mention the name Jazz Chisholm, who had one of the worst Home Run Derby performances in modern memory. But the focus is on you and James Wood. What went wrong?
Well, James Wood, he was far from the first place winner in Cal Raleigh, the champion of the Home Run Derby. I think the logic for James Wood was there. I mean, when he hit him, he crushed him. You know, they were long gone. I just don't think he got into that rhythm. And, you know, it is what it is. James Wood, obviously one of the premier power hitters in the game. I just don't think he got into a rhythm. And that's what's a bit unpredictable about the Derby, is it's a lot different than just taking normal swings in a game, where it's, you don't know how really durable or how, you know, how good everyone's stamina is in these types of competitions. So it's what makes it tough. And yeah, I do appreciate that you mentioned that you did throw out Jazz as a potential sleeper, and he had a grand total of 3 yesterday. Not the greatest showing, but no. Yeah, neither was James Wood. Cal Raleigh obviously went on, won the whole thing. O'Neal Cruz hit a 513-foot homer, so I'll give you a little bit of credit for that. He did hit the furthest homer, probably in home run derby history, if I'm being honest. I don't know that for sure, but I imagine it's up there. We were talking about that a bit yesterday, but yeah, it was a fun derby, and congrats to Cal Raleigh.
Yeah, congrats to Cal Raleigh. That is definitely one of the takeaways. You know, one of the things that we talked about yesterday is that trying to predict the home run derby is very difficult, in part because you don't know exactly how seriously every guy is going to take it, how they're going to feel about it. And I thought in general, the whole field like approached it with a certain level of seriousness. At Cal Raleigh, it was obvious that he really wanted to win it. And sometimes that's half the battle for this kind of thing. All-Star game tonight, obviously big name pitching matchup to the extent that there is a pitching matchup in the All-Star game when they're both likely to throw only one inning. Tarek Skubal of Detroit will start for the American League. Paul Skeens, despite a 4-8 record to go with his 2.01 earned run average, will start for the National League. The young Pittsburgh Pirates right-hander who has been so good but also has just one-third wins in his decisions. 4 out of 12 of the decisions he's taken have been wins. We talked about this on a Cardinals pregame and postgame show when he started against the Redbirds a couple of weeks ago, that he is on track right now potentially to have the best earned run average in the history of Major League Baseball for a pitcher with a losing record. And there are various like ways that you can sort of formulate that statistic, and it tweaks the answers a little bit one way or the other. Lowest winning percentage for pitcher with an ERA under 2.5 or whatever. You can flip it around and compare ERAs among pitchers with losing records or winning percentage below 400 or whatever you want. But either way, he's among the leaders in all of those different iterations and has a chance to become, at least in the live ball era, going back to 1920, the lowest earned run average ever for a pitcher with a win-loss record below 500. But let's talk about the All-Star game sort of in the abstract. Forget about this year in particular. In general, are you somebody who cares about the All-Star game? Do you look forward to it?
Absolutely, I do. I think the All-Star game is the best players in the world. They come together, they face off. I think one of my favorite not home run derby, but All-Star game memories is leading off in Cincinnati. I believe it was 2015. You see Zach Greinke on the mound, Mike Trout at the plate to lead off the game. That was in Zach Greinke's one of his best years of his career. Trout takes a mopo for a homer to start the game. That's just a moment that you never forget as a baseball fan. Take the Cardinals out of it. That's just an awesome baseball moment, right? That's what the All-Star game creates, and you have the best of the best going at it. We've seen a lot of players kind of not play in these types of games as it's become 2023, 2024, 2025. A lot of players are looking to take these times to rest up and get ready for the second half, but it's still the best players in the game, at least the majority of them. And I just think you have to cherish and enjoy every time these guys get together.
Well, Kyle, don't turn your microphone off just yet, because on the other side of the break, we're going to continue this Cardinals chat and discuss a little bit of the results of our ongoing poll. So maybe not the results, the current polling of our ongoing poll, though the numbers have stabilized. I think it's unlikely they're going to change a whole lot between now and when the poll closes at the end of the show at 8 o'clock. And then in your mind, what the Cardinals need to do over the next, let's say, 7 to 14, or I guess at most 16 days to help you make up your mind on how you want them to approach this deadline. And if you want to get your thoughts in, you will get priority over Kyle Sixto, but only if you call 314-436-7900 in the next 5 or 6 minutes. Cardinals chat continues after this. Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Nate Gatter in for Matt Pauley during the All-Star break this week. The All-Star game and the Cardinals lone representative in it, Brendan Donovan, get underway in just about 15 minutes. We'll be with you all the way until 8 o'clock with Graybar Sports Open Line this evening. Second hour, we're going to have plenty of soccer conversation, St. Louis City, and some of the continuing tweaks and additions, both official and reported, to the roster. Lutz Vandenstiel
continuing to tinker, continuing to make changes as City try to find a way to recapture the magic of that inaugural season, really the early part of the inaugural season. We'll talk to Tom Timmerman, who covers the club for the Post-Dispatch. We'll also talk U.S. soccer and sort of U.S. soccer in the U.S. men's national team sense, and also U.S. soccer in this country sense with Bill McDermott after the U.S. men's national team's performance at the Gold Cup, after the Club World Cup finished up a couple of days ago in New York, and with an eye toward the World Cup coming to the United States next summer. But we're still finishing up our Cardinals chat right now because we've been talking about the trade deadline. And I think really, I mean, there are other conversations to have, the sort of routine regular season conversations that we have about where things are, who's down, who's up, how the injuries are, all of those sorts of things. To me, the philosophy of this organization is what has been interesting over the last couple of years, and the way that the philosophy has changed and the way the Cardinals have accepted that if they were going to get out of kind of being in that perfectly fine but not great range of teams, maybe the number 8 to number 14 team in Major League Baseball, that range where generally, not last year, but generally, you're not getting a very good draft pick, but you are qualifying for the playoffs and crashing out pretty quickly, that philosophy required changing, because not that it was their philosophy to be in that range, but their philosophies were leading them to that range, and accepting that they needed to do some retooling was a recipe to get out of that rut. And this year, even if they are overachieving, that's the mindset, the direction of the organization is still to point toward next season and the season after and beyond. And so how do you take these two things together? The Cardinals having overperformed expectations by any reasonable metric over the course of this year so far, not wanting to sell off pieces when you could qualify for the playoffs, not wanting to send as a result any kind of negative message to those younger players who would undoubtedly benefit from being part of a division race in September, from getting to play playoff baseball, even if it is just a handful of wild card round games on the road before elimination, against the need to put those younger players and the entire organization in the best position to contend for a World Series in the future. Because ultimately, that's what this has to come back to. That has to be the touchstone. Is the goal is not to make the playoffs. The goal is not even to win divisions. The goal is to compete for and ultimately win World Series championships. And right now, the Cardinals are not a trade deadline acquisition away. They're not even four trade deadline acquisitions away from being World Series contenders. That's not a criticism. It's just how it is, right? We knew that was going to be how it was this year. It doesn't mean the Cardinals aren't doing the right things right now to be World Series contenders as soon as is realistically possible. It just means that is not going to be 2025. So how much are you willing to sacrifice, if anything? My feeling would be I would not be willing to sacrifice anything beyond this year in order to do more contention. You might disagree. In fact, I think Kyle will at least disagree slightly, or at least not be ready to agree fully, and that is perfectly fine. You can reasonably disagree. I'm actually a little bit surprised by how many of you agree, even if in different words. Our Twitter poll was, what should the Cardinals do at the trade deadline? Buy, sell, not sure yet. 71% of the 436 of you who have voted say sell. 16% say buy, 13% say not sure yet. So, Kyle, my understanding is you were leaning toward not sure yet, which would put you in the smallest camp. How are you approaching that question right now?
I think I'm sitting at not sure yet because I at least want to see what happens in these 2 weeks, right? I want to see, when it comes to July 31st, are we in possession of a playoff spot? And if you are, I can't really justify selling, because if you're in a position, we've seen that once you get into the playoffs, once you get into the dance, you know anything can happen. We saw it in 2023 when the Rangers and the Diamondbacks faced off in the playoffs or in the World Series. And we saw it in 2011 when the Cardinals went all the way. I'm not at all saying that this is the 2011 Cardinals, but we've seen that anything can happen once you get in. I do lean sell. If I was going to go buy or sell, I do go sell, because like you said, we're not one trade deadline acquisition away from being a World Series contender. And that's the goal. As a fan, you shouldn't be satisfied with just a wild card appearance and getting bounced in that round. You should want to build a team that goes to the World Series and contends for that every single season. And that's what we're building towards beyond 2025. So that's what we're going towards. That's what I would want to, you know, save assets for. But, you know, if you are in possession of a playoff spot, I think we at least let it ride at the very least. So that's why I'm not 100% sell as of this moment.
We've gotten quite a few responses as well on social media. Cameron Beckner said, depends what the definition of sell is. Sell who? Helsley is pretty much the only one of value, and they may do that anyway, even if they're in it. I don't think I'd go as far as to say Helsley is the only one of value. At the very least, a couple of other names that Brad Thompson put out there, Phil Maton and Steven Matz, have value. I think Matz is diminished a little bit by, even though it's an expiring contract, it's a pretty significant one on the scale of the rental market. He's relatively expensive in terms of dollars, even if only for the last couple of months, because he's on a $12 million a year contract. But certainly those three guys are all of interest, and you could get legitimate returns for all three of them. In particular, Ryan Helsley, I think, has more value than the average Cardinals fan gives him credit for. Not that far removed from being a great, great reliever. I mean, we're talking about what? His trademark would have been red hot 6-8 months ago. I still think it's going to be pretty darn warm. I think Bill Burke, I think, makes a good point. He says this team has exceeded expectations, but they aren't a playoff team. They could be. They're only a game and a half out of being in the playoffs. I think the broader point there is they aren't a pennant or World Series contending team, and I think that's probably true no matter what. Aaron Ott, similar line, no way for the Cardinals to add enough to compete with the best team. They stated their aim this year was a soft reset, no need to deviate because of outperforming expectations by a few games. Adding a token arm or bat is what they've been doing the past 5 years without results. I think that's pretty fair as well. You know, I think outperforming expectations by a few games is a fun way to put it, too, because it kind of minimizes what they've done to this point. But it is also true that if you flip three wins into losses, they'd be below 500 by a game right now. And I don't think anybody would be talking about the possibility of them buying. On the other hand, if you flipped a few games positively out of this recent swoon and they were, let's say, 10, 11 games above 500, we might be having a different conversation, too, where people are very reluctant to sell, at least in that scenario. I think I might be reluctant to sell too. And if they were three games out of the division at the deadline, I might be more reluctant. Certainly if they were in first place, I wouldn't be interested in selling off anybody. I still don't know that I would be giving up much of value to buy. Maybe if I could make a cheap acquisition here and there. But I think in general, people sort of have the right approach, which is that they're not in a pennant and World Series contending position. My least favorite response was from Michael, who said, just happy it's Mo's final trade deadline. Michael, you should learn to think for yourself instead of just repeating things that you read other people say, or at least you should try to read what smarter people say before you repeat it. My favorite response, I think, was Jonathan Hart, who said, option four, yes. In only three words, I think he encapsulated what Mo's mindset probably is, which is, I'm going to sniff around and I'm going to see if I could do some of a bunch of things. I'm going to see if maybe I could trade Helsley and Maton and Matz and get prospect returns and open up innings for some guys in the bullpen. I also wouldn't be opposed to adding somebody if the right thing came along where some team was looking to shed a guy for whatever reason. I don't think he would be opposed to adding somebody who is controllable for at least one, if not two or more years beyond this one. So I really like that. It's kind of a creative response, and it communicated a lot, I think, if you have a sense of where the Cardinals are. It communicated a lot in just three words and a colon. So shout out to that response. That one is my favorite one from Jonathan Hart. You still have an hour and 53 minutes to vote in that poll if you would like to try to swing it in your direction or further widen the advantage that Sell has developed. Some St. Louis City talk coming up in our second hour. We'll circle back at the end to this Cardinals conversation as well. You're locked in on the Gray Bar Sports Open line. We're at the midway point. An hour still to come on the Voice of St. Louis, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
Matt Pauly is taking a well-deserved break during the All-Star break. Nate Gatter with you in his stead. We'll be here Wednesday and Thursday as well. And then Matt will return with you on Friday when the Cardinals make their return in Arizona. One of the things that we'll have to talk about is the Cardinals' schedule and how it plays in their favor in the remainder of July up until the trade deadline with Arizona, Colorado, then a tougher series back home against San Diego, and then Miami prior to the deadline, but how maybe that complicates things a little bit more for John Mozeliak as well. That's going to be a conversation we will get to at the end of this hour. Remember, you can be a part of any of our chats at 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. You can comment on our streams, any of your social media sites, wherever you follow the show. You can also tweet us at KMOX Sports to hear your name and your comment or your question on the air. Time to turn our attention to St. Louis City, coming off a 2-1 win over Portland at Energizer Park on Sunday. Marcel Hartl scored a couple of goals for City in the second half to come from 1-0 down to win 2-1. It had been a long time since City won a game coming from behind. Really, since City won a game, period, it feels so rare. So there are so few and far between this year. They are still second bottom in the Western Conference. They will play FC Dallas one spot ahead of them in 13th in the Western Conference down in Texas on Saturday. We're going to talk to Daniel Esteve tomorrow, former Fox 2 reporter here in St. Louis, who is now down in Dallas working in local television there. He's going to join us in the 6 o'clock hour tomorrow to preview St. Louis City's match against FC Dallas. We're going to talk much sooner, though, in just about 10 minutes with Tom Timmerman, who covers St. Louis City for the Post-Dispatch, and get the latest not only on that performance against Portland and looking ahead toward FC Dallas, but maybe more importantly on where the roster is right now, because City officially announced the addition of Falu Fall, a young Senegalese center back, just turned 21 years old in April. He had been playing with Fredrikstad in the Norwegian top division, and a guy who is attracting interest, I think, is very, very exciting because of his profile. First of all, at 6 feet, 4 inches tall, left-footed center back. So David Critchley, City manager, the City interim manager today at training, talking about how he is going to play as the left-sided center back, and they're really excited to slot him in there. Obviously, City have brought in one center back after another. There have been so many injury issues at center back for City. It really feels like Tim Parker has been the only center back for City who in their three seasons has been able to come in and fully establish himself and play a ton of minutes there. Obviously, he is no longer with the club. Kyle Hebert has also been pretty reliably on the field, but he's played quite a bit of fullback as well during his time, and he's always been a sort of a second option. Just so many different guys who have been back there at center back, and it's put so much pressure on City defensively and on Roman Berkey, who they always ask a lot of in goal. Regardless, Fall, very interesting. Also because his market value just exploded really, really quickly in his time in Norway. There's a site you might be familiar with called Transfer Market. If you follow soccer, Transfer Market in theory tracks and sort of estimates players' market value. And they have Fall valued at 2.8 million euros, which would, what, be somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 million, maybe a little more than $3 million with where the dollar is relative to the euro right now. That was 7 months ago, 8 months ago, that was 1.5 million euros. And just over a year ago, June 3rd, 2024, they had him at 100,000 euros. So he's gone from 100,000 to 2.8 in the span of a year, basically 13 months. His value has increased by 2,800%, or 2,700% increase, I guess, by 28 times, according to Transfer Market. Now, that doesn't mean that's necessarily what City paid, and it doesn't mean they're necessarily precisely accurate, but his value has exploded. It's clear that what he did in Norway attracted a lot of attention, including from St. Louis City, and they won the race to sign him. Reportedly, according to Tom Bogert of I guess he's not with The Athletic now anymore. But according to Tom Bogert on Twitter, they are also making moves, they being St. Louis City, for a couple of players from Minnesota United. One of them is Sangbin Jeong, who is a forward for Minnesota, and they are making a cash trade for him. Something you're allowed to do now in MLS is make cash trades within the league, just buy a player, essentially, without having to use general allocation money, which has also always been the rule in MLS in the past is sort of complicated things. Now you're allowed a certain number of times to sort of operate outside of that structure. And Jeong is an attractive player for City in terms of his potential. I think he's still a young guy at 23 years old. He will turn 24, or he just turned 23, I should say, back in April. South Korean attacker who was with Wolverhampton Wanderers in England, although never made a first-team appearance, spent some time on loan in Switzerland, and has been with Minnesota since 2023. A guy who there was a lot of optimism around when he came to Minnesota, you know, commands a high salary, makes over $700,000 a year, which is a pretty significant number in Major League Soccer, especially for a guy who came to the U.S. at 21 years old. And so City will be hoping to discover some of that ability as they sort of sort through, try to add to their options and bolster things on the attacking front, especially with Rasmus Alm now ruled out for the remainder of the season and unlikely probably to play for St. Louis City again with some of the really unfortunate injury issues that he has had. The other one, Devin Paddleford, left back for Minnesota, who has reportedly set to join City on a loan move. Minnesota United, a homegrown player, a Minnesota native, who was the first player ever, first homegrown player to score a goal for Minnesota United, and Paddleford potentially tipped by Tom Bogert for the move to St. Louis. So potentially three additions in a short span here in July. One of them, Falu Fall, has been made official by St. Louis City. And we will talk about that along with everything else St. Louis City with Tom Timberman when he joins us here in just about 5 or 6 minutes on KMOX. We'll also talk to Bill McDermott right after Tom, Mr. Soccer, about the U.S. Men's National Team's performance in the Gold Cup and look ahead toward the World Cup. Certainly, things are kind of in flux, I think. Not quite as much positive momentum around the U.S. Men's National Team as folks would have been hoping with the World Cup on home soil now just a year out. There was a lot of optimism, I think, coming out of the 2022 World Cup. Certainly, I felt a lot of optimism about the U.S. Men's National Team, the talent level, where they were pointed. There was another wave of optimism that followed Mauricio Pochettino's appointment as the U.S. manager. And in general, there seems to be some angst and drama around the U.S. Men's National Team. When isn't there? But that volume has turned up quite a bit this summer with some of the notable names skipping out on the Gold Cup, most notably Christian Pulisic. He's sort of been the lightning rod for it and attracted a lot of the criticism, but other names as well who figure to be part of the first choice 11 next year at the World Cup, if healthy. And we will discuss that with Bill, along with touching on the Club World Cup that wrapped up a couple of days ago as well. All of that is to come. Graybar Sports Open Line continues after this. Tom Timberman joins us next. St. Louis City after the break on KMOX. Graybar Sports Open Line continues. Tom Timberman is with us. He covers St. Louis City for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Tim. Tom, how are you doing? Thanks so much for being with us.
I'm doing fine, thank you, Nate. And it's I think this is my first time on FM.
Oh yeah, might be 104.1 FM, our new signal. I hope you can feel it coursing through your phone that that your voice is being brought to people crystal clear around the St. Louis area.
I sound sharper already.
You certainly do. Tom, let's start with the match on Sunday. City got a win that I think felt refreshing in more ways than one, not only coming from behind with those two second-half Marcel Hartl goals to beat Portland 2-1, but doing it while out-possessing Timbers, doing it while out-shooting them, more shots on goal. In many, many ways, the passes as well, the stat sheet just did not look like a typical St. Louis City stat sheet, maybe at any point in their history, certainly not like it looked in the early part of this year under Olaf Melberg. Do you think Sunday is in many ways indicative of how David Critchley and the brain trust at City want to see this transition back into a little closer to the old identity, plus maybe some more possession?
Yeah, well, I think they've wanted to see that for a while. This is the first time they really saw it. They have seen glimpses of it in previous games, and they have done things that looked well, but there has always been a failure in there somewhere that has led to them losing. And so this was the first time in which they put a good game together and got a win out of it. And it's, you know, kind of unusual, and because, I mean, they were 0-9 when they'd given up the first goal in game. So to come back and win, that was something. And, I mean, Hartl hadn't scored a goal in 2 months. So that was something. So, and then Edward Lubin returns, and, you know, they barely ever win without him this season. So a lot of things that needed to happen for them to be successful happened, and now they need to recreate that over the final 12 games of the season.
Speaking of things that need to happen in order to be successful, obviously City feel, and with good reason, that they're going to need to make at least some additions, at least some tweaks to this roster in order to be successful going forward and pull themselves out of the bottom part of the Western Conference that they've occupied now for the better part of 2 years. And we'll get to a moment to the reported additions of a couple of guys from Minnesota, but let's start with the addition that City have made official with Falu Fall, the young Senegalese center back, joining from the Norwegian League, just 21 years old, brings that left-footed element. It sounds like they're very excited about him, and really, I was just talking about it in the last segment, if you look at his transfer market page and the way his value has, at least in the eyes of people on the outside, but very much in the know still, has skyrocketed in the last year. This is a guy everybody's excited about around the world.
Yeah, some of his analytics were pretty high, and you know where he ranks among young center backs whether in Europe or anywhere in the world. I mean, he was well sought after. And the fact, I mean, City paid, you know, we don't know the exact number, but, you know, 3 million euros, about $3.5 million. I mean, that's, they've only paid more in a transfer fee for one player, and that'd be Klaus back in the very beginning. And so many of their acquisitions have been guys on free transfers. And here was a case where they had a few left backs or left-footed players that they were looking at. And, you know, this was one guy that they kind of settled on, and they went after him, and they paid the money, and there was, you know, German clubs that may have been interested. Yeah, so they went after this guy. You know, he's 21 years old. You know, is he going to change this year's team? Probably not a whole lot. But this is an investment in the future for these guys, for being better down the line. And it solves a big problem. I mean, they have one among their many, many, many center backs. I mean, the only one they have who's left-footed is Joachim Nielsen, who is always hurt, and is, you know, he's played in 34 games over 2.5 seasons. So it's tough, you know, and so they're looking at some, you know, a player in that role who can, you know, start the attack in that direction to make it easier to move the ball from one side to the other and get it going on the left-hand side, because they are, they do a lot of their attack, you know, Thomas Tomlin on the right gets forward. They don't get as forward as much on the left. This could be something that plays into that.
So there are a couple of things to me about this transfer that really stand out. And you mentioned, you know, the money and the ambition that shows, and I'll kind of get to that in a second. First of all, is the age, right? Only 21 years old. City have not brought in a player with this level of expectation who is also this young. How long, considering his youth, considering that he is from Africa and then his professional experience has been in Europe, and he's now coming to the United States and going to be in a very different situation in a lot of ways than what he has been so far in his career. How long do you think it's going to take for him to see the field and then for folks to realistically be able to expect him to make an impact?
Well, I think he's going to see the field pretty quickly, as opposed to some of the transfers last summer who were, you know, coming from Germany where their season had ended in May, and so they hadn't been playing for 2 months, and then it took them a while to get up to speed. The Norwegians, you know, their season matches the MLS season. So they are, he's in mid-season form, so that should speed up how long he can get in. I would think that the transition from Senegal to Norway, with a stop in France and in Serbia, is pretty drastic. And I'm sure he'll find life in some ways simpler in America. So, you know, I think he could be on the field, you know, as soon as he has his visa in place. Now, as to when he starts making an impact, you know, that's another question. And some of it's going to depend on, you know, how the other center backs are. Is he playing alongside Timo Baumgartel, alongside Henry Kessler, or do they use him? They conceivably could use him as a left back, because that's a position where they've got two really young guys that they are looking at there. Yeah, he's got one game in the top division in France, otherwise reserve games there, the Norwegian league, which is, you know, not one of your top, I don't know, 10 leagues in Europe probably. So this will be a jump, but I think this is for him a big bet on himself. I mean, he could have gone to maybe a club in Germany. And with the time this contract, I mean, it runs through 2028 with an option for 2029. City is going to want to, you know, get him out there, and he's going to want to make a good showing. He's got a reason. I mean, he's looking, I mean, ultimately he wants to get back to Europe. So he's got potential there. And he, you know, again, could have taken a European deal, didn't do it, is coming here. So I was looking for that opportunity, and we'll see. But he could be, you know, I think the first game he's eligible for is, what, the 26th? The window opens on the 24th. So, I mean, he could be out there as quickly as they could get him out. It's tough. I mean, it's center back is a weird position for City right now. I mean, their top three guys in Kessler, Baumgartel, and Nielsen, those are their top three. They're all hurt at this moment. Baumgartel may be back this week. So it's something where the numbers could complicate matters, and they might have to find another way to try to get him in. But, you know, this is something they want to see. You know, I mean, they kind of know what those other guys are, and I think they need to see how he's going to fit in.
Tom Timmerman is with us. He covers St. Louis City for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. You can follow him on Twitter, at Tom Tim. Tom, you sort of took me toward where I want to go next on the follow fall discussion, just to wrap things up. And the other thing to me that feels unusual, if not unique, about this signing in City's young history, it's not only the amount of money they paid. Like you said, you'd probably think it's somewhere in the region of $3.5 million for him. Mm-hmm. And it's not only his age at 21. It's a combination of those things and how sought after he already is in Europe. This is a player who, in theory, is in a position, as you hinted at, that if he were to have a couple of good years with St. Louis, they might be able to sell back to Europe for a significant amount of money. And outside of maybe Nico Gioacchini on just a smaller scale, because they paid less to get him and they made less when they sold him off, but they made a significant profit selling him to Europe. He's the only other guy I can think of who would have come to City where clearly his ambition was to use City, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but to use City as a stepping stone to improve his game, to improve his status in the sport, and to ultimately move to a bigger club, which is not atypical of how leagues in the general caliber of MLS interact with ambitious young players in their early 20s. But it hasn't been typical of City so far. In some ways, this feels like a big swing in a sporting sense and a business sense.
It is. And MLS is still largely an exporting league. They get a lot of money by developing young players and selling them on. The one guy on City that maybe could have done that, maybe Jabulo Blum, which from Africa, of all places. I don't think he ever felt comfortable in America. I mean, he was a long way from home, and I think he felt it. And he was here on his own. It was a tough thing for him. Paul is married, so he'll have built-in companionship with him here. That might simplify the transition for him. But, yeah, this is something where City's looking at, you know, this is an investment, and they hope that they get a good return on that. So that's something they need to do. I mean, it's something that has long been a goal, and this is their first really big chance. Because it's also the first time, like you said, you know, they haven't gone out and spent a lot of money. I mean, they've got so many guys on free transfers over the years. This is the time they said, we like this guy. There's good things about him. We're going to get this guy, and, you know, they're going to hope it works.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see him up close. This is, I think, the most excited I've been to see a City transfer take the field for the first time, at the very least since Marcel Hartl, and maybe period, since things have really gotten underway. I think it's going to be fun to keep an eye on him. Tom, we so appreciate you making time for us this evening. Thanks a lot for all your work. Look forward to talking again soon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Nate.
Tom Timmerman of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Tim. Get all that reporting at STL Today on Follow Fall, the newest official edition of St. Louis City, and reportedly a couple potential more to follow in this summer window, as reported by Tom Bogard, among others. We'll take a break. Mr. Soccer Bill McDermott will be with us after this, U.S. men's national team. Then we'll circle back to some of your final thoughts on the Cardinals and the polling that we have put out there as we approach the trade deadline. That'll be at the end of this hour. We'll also look ahead to what we have for you tomorrow night. All of that and more, Gray Bar Sports Open Line continues next. Mr. Soccer Bill McDermott is with us on Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Nate Gatterbank with you in for Matt Pauly. Bill is going to tell us everything that we need to know about the U.S. men's national team after what, Bill, I think you have to consider a disappointing Gold Cup. Maybe if you consider the roster the U.S. really had at their disposal, it's a little less disappointing to make it to the final and ultimately come up short 2-1 to Mexico. But at the same time, that's a tournament the U.S. always feel they have to win to call it a success.
I think so, Nat. What they did, Nate, was really had a roster that, as you just pointed out, was not their first 11 that you're going to see at the World Cup next year, at least probably not. Now, did some of these players play so well and overall improve their worth to the coach? I think some did. But as you look at this team right now, when they go into the Gold Cup, for all intents and purposes, this is the last competitive aspect of any kind of competition you're going to have, other than some friendlies. They got friendlies coming up against Ecuador and Australia, two teams that have already qualified for the World Cup. But like Mexico and Canada, the United States doesn't have to qualify. So it's a means of playing competition as much as you can prior to the World Cup, and preferably playing different types of countries, because who knows, next year in 2026, with 48 countries entering the World Cup for the first time ever, you have no idea who you're going to be playing.
There were a lot of guys, as you said, missing for the U.S. men's national team. I mean, Christian Pulisic, unsurprisingly, got the majority of the headlines, both because of his stature and also because he missed it for rest, whereas some were recovering from surgeries, like Anthony Robinson. Some were missing for through injury, like Fuller and Balogun, Ricardo Pepi, Serginho Dest. You know, but regardless of why they were missing, this is an incredible list. Pulisic, Robinson, Balogun, Pepi, Dest, Weston McKennie, Tim Weah, Gio Reyna, Yunus Musa, Josh Sargent. You could build a competitive World Cup first 11 with only the players who weren't there for the U.S. as much. In fact, you'd want more of them than the guys who were there. How much is this going to hurt, without getting into sort of the politics and the drama of it all, which the U.S. men's national team media community is always willing to do about who's right and who's wrong for what reasons. Let's just set that aside, because I don't really care. What I care about is being in a position to succeed at the World Cup next summer. So whether they were missing through injury or through club obligations or through rest, how much do you think it hurts the U.S. men's team to go into the most important tournament in decades without having played much together?
Well, I think, Nate, you bring up a very, very valid point. And by the way, those names you just ticked off there, that's a goodly portion of that first 11. Mm-hmm. But I think they have grown to be more or less more sophisticated as a unit, so that going into a difficult competition and being the host always wants to at least, and believe me, this is at least, get out of that first round. But as you look at this overall team now, I think they do have developed a level of sophistication where they're accustomed to events like this. Now, a goodly number, as you just pointed out, and name their names, of that first 11, no, they didn't participate. But some others are going to perhaps get their names continually in front of people so that they gain their own amount of pedigree. And that's what Mauricio Pochettino has been doing. That was what he did with this most recent competition. Let's get some players and find out if they can indeed get on the team, push themselves to perhaps be better than some of our existing first 11 players, or at least get in the selection. And as I mentioned when we just started our conversation, I think that 4, 5, or 6 of the players who you most recently saw did indeed accomplish that.
Yeah, Mauricio Pochettino, I think at times has seemed frustrated about the players he's been missing, but at times, to your point, has been adamant that it's about what you do with the national team, and he did get the opportunity to see some guys take real steps forward. I mean, I think Diego Luna is somebody who would not have really been on the radar in a couple of years ago, and now has put himself in a position where he has a very, very good chance to be on the team. Obviously, yeah. Tim Ream and Chris Richards and Tyler Adams did well. They were going to be on the team one way or the other. Maybe a couple of other guys who at least played their way into bench roles. I didn't mention Malik Tillman. He certainly will be on the team, you would think, if healthy.
You would think.
Potentially could be in the mix to get significant playing time. Then goalkeeper. The goalkeeping conversation is crazy to me, because it feels like only a couple of years ago we were talking about, wow, the U.S., I mean, if there's one position that's so great, it's goalkeeper. We've got so many good ones. It's just a question of who gets the nod. Now, they're all freaking backups in Europe. Nobody ever gets to play, and so you can't evaluate them.
Whereas in past World Cups, when the United States has been most successful, and I bring that up simply because of 2002, when Casey Keller and Brad Friedel were playing, and Brad Friedel was clearly one of the best goalkeepers at the 2002 World Cup. It seemed to be, at least in the mind of Pochettino that Matt Turner was going to be a foregone conclusion. However, we see Matt Freeze get into the first 11 and continue to play throughout this entire tournament. Is Zach Steffen still going to be a constant? He has been a constant in the conversation prior. Is Patrick Schulte, the St. Louisan, is he going to rebound from injury to get back into potentially getting into selection? Also, Nate, I think another position that is positively up for grabs is the number nine. And I think that position has been up for grabs. Again, I referenced that 2002 team because that's where Brian McBride was. I still think this position is wide open. Is it Fullerene Bolligan? Is it Ricardo Pepi? Is it Haji Wright? Is it Adjiman? I think Adjiman was going to begin to show some things in this particular competition, but as the competition proceeded to go on, I don't think he's a bona fide candidate to be in the first 11, perhaps get on the team in some capacity. I don't think he's a first 11 player. He doesn't do enough for me as a number nine to be a consistent threat anywhere near the penalty area. Yes, he's a big man and can use his size. Is he agile enough to play with his back to the goal? Can he play one and two touch in a tight scenario? Is he going to be good getting into the penalty area? All those things remain to be seen, and it remains to be seen with him, Bolligan, Carl Pepe, Haji Wright, Josh Sargent. Can he rebound from his difficult scenario with injury after injury? So these two positions, I think, are still wide open.
I'm glad you mentioned Adjiman because he is sort of the flip side of the coin. I think he might be one of the only players who hurt his stock in my eyes over the course of the Gold Cup just because his performances down the stretch, in particular in the final, were just very disappointing in what was a pretty significant opportunity, more so than anybody in his position on the number nine depth chart has generally gotten for the U.S. in recent years. He did just complete his move to Derby County, so we'll get to see him at maybe a marginally higher level in the in the English Championship. Speaking of transfers in the U.S. number nines, really quickly, Bill, before we let you go, St. Louis and Josh Sargent reportedly in conversations over a move to Wolfsburg in the German Bundesliga. How would you feel about that move for him after he's been at Norwich City now for quite a number of years?
Fine. You know why I say that, Nate? Anywhere where he can go to play and continue to play on a regular basis. He has really been aggravated and bothered by that potential, that proverbial injury bug. It seems that he's in and out of the first 11 for every club he plays with, but he is a bona fide finisher. And when he has time to prove himself, I think he's certainly in the overall selection of players. And Wolfsburg, hey, we reference Brian McBride again. That's where he began his potential career to be an overall national team player, which came true. Fortunately for the United States, he began his international career in Wolfsburg. So it remains to be seen what's going to transpire with all these players. But I think they can still build a solid unit. And you want to do this going into a World Cup in particular because you're hosting the World Cup. Remember when 94 came around, Nate, and everybody said, oh, my word, how can the United States host a World Cup? They have no league, no organized league of any capacity. They have no pedigree in the World Cup. In 1930, they did well, but nothing since. Turns out there's an average attendance of 68,991. That will be shattered, Nate, simply because of the large venues that they're going to in 2026.
Well, the excitement is still there. Bill, I'm sure you're going to be a very busy man, not only on the KMOX airwaves, but around the region, around the country, in the lead up to this massive tournament coming stateside next summer. We're very excited to be part of it. I'm sure you are as well. Thank you so much for making the time for us tonight, as always.
Anytime, Nate. Anytime. Always a pleasure to talk soccer with you.
Bill McDermott, Mr. Soccer, with us here on Graybar Sports Open Line. We'll take one more break. We'll wrap up with the final thoughts on that Cardinals conversation from the first hour, and maybe let producer Kyle Sixta get his final word in as well, responding to some of your tweets and polls. That is to come. Graybar Sports Open Line. More after this.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Graybar Sports Open Line continues on this Tuesday evening, wrapping things up. We'll be back with you, as always, 6 o'clock tomorrow. Don't forget Redbird Rush Hour as well. We'll start at 5, and we'll be with you all the way through it. Nate Gatter in for Matt Pauly. Tomorrow evening, just so I don't forget to tell you, Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch will be with us to talk all things Cardinals. Jonathan Mayo from MLB.com will join to discuss the MLB draft and the Cardinals selections. Headlined, of course, by Liam Doyle. We talked about that quite a bit on the show yesterday, both the Redbird Rush Hour and Sports Open Line, if you want to go back and listen to it in podcast form on the free Odyssey app. Former Fox 2 reporter Daniel Esteve will join us to preview St. Louis City's match next weekend against FC Dallas. Daniel, of course, was one of the great local media folks covering City for a couple of years at Fox 2, and he is now back down in Dallas working for a local station there. So perfect guy to give us both sides of the coin, because he's seen both teams up close and personal this year. Dan Reardon will be with us as well to preview the Open Championship from Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland, which will get underway on Thursday. Dan will be with us Wednesday to preview it, and then Thursday evening as well to go through the happenings of the first round in the Open Championship across the pond. Now it's time to wrap up our Cardinals chat that we've been having all evening in some form or fashion, and we will continue to have probably for the next 2.5 weeks in some form or fashion leading up to the trade deadline. The poll is just about ready to close. We're up to 559 votes on the question of what should the St. Louis Cardinals do at the trade deadline. 70% of you say sell, 18% say buy, 12% say not sure yet. Went through some of the responses earlier. If you missed those, you can go back and listen again in podcast form on the free Odyssey app. The consensus seems to be in the responses as well, that at the very least, trading off some of those expiring pieces in the bullpen, Ryan Helsley most notably, Phil Maton and Steven Matz as well, seems to be the right approach for the Cardinals, regardless of where they are. The one other thing, and we touched on this on Redbird Rush Hour earlier, the one other thing I think that's worth discussing is that the Cardinals could potentially throw John Mozeliak a curveball in the final couple of weeks before the deadline. So they're going to resume in Arizona on Friday night. They'll play 3 against the Diamondbacks. Then they'll go to Denver for 3 against the Rockies and come home for a 7-game homestand, their last 7 games before the deadline, 4 of them against San Diego, 3 of them against Miami. So 9 of those 13 games will be against teams under 500, Arizona, Colorado, and Miami. The Rockies, of course, are more than just below 500. They have the worst record in baseball by nearly 10 games. At 22-74, they've won not even a quarter of their games this year. The Padres are the only team the Cardinals will see between now and the deadline with a winning record. They're 52-44, just a game and a half better than the Cardinals record. And the Padres, for the moment, are occupying that third and final wild card spot, with the Giants a half game behind, the Cardinals 1.5 behind, and the Reds 2.5 back. So I say that could be a curveball for John Mozeliak, because let's say the Cardinals come out and have some success in those games. Well, in some ways, that complicates things for them, because Mozeliak then has to figure out, if the Cardinals go from a good position that they're in now to make the playoffs, not a great one, but they're only a game and a half out of that wild card. Certainly they're not in a bad situation, but if they go from 5 games above 500 to, let's say, I don't know, realistic best case scenario, let's say they were to go 10-3 in those 13 games, that would be very good, but I don't think it's off the table, right? It could happen. If they go 10-3 in those games, they go from 5 games over 500 to 12 games over 500. That 10-3 would make them 61-49. Kind of tough to be a team that's won 61 and lost 49 through 110 games and sell off a whole lot. At the same time, I wonder if John Mozeliak would say to himself, well, that was 10-3 against the softest stretch of schedule you can really expect to have in Major League Baseball. Certainly the softest stretch the Cardinals are going to have for the remainder of the year. Because then, in sort of a cruel twist, the schedule really stiffens up for the first couple of weeks after the break, or after the deadline, I should say. August 1st, they start a 3-game series on the road against San Diego, then 3 games on the road against the Dodgers.
Then they come home for a 9-game homestand, 3 against the Cubs, 3 against the Rockies, 3 against the Yankees. So they get the Rockies again. But other than that, you're playing 3 of the absolute top teams in baseball in the Dodgers, the Cubs, and the Yankees, and another one in the Padres that is a playoff team right now. So you'll follow up that stretch with then playing 12 out of 15 games against playoff teams, playing 9 of those 15 games against teams in first place in their respective divisions. Then it softens up a little bit again the second half of August. Overall, the remaining schedule, as Stephen Carey noted during Redbird Rush Hour earlier today, is below average in terms of the winning percentage the Cardinals will see the rest of the way. But if I were John Mozeliak, I would be very hesitant to get too over my skis on the positivity that's happened already, or certainly if there's some positivity against poor teams the rest of the way. I thought I was going to have to be cautioning people more about that, and wouldn't it be just a cruel twist if the Cardinals went 10-3, bought at the deadline, and then proceeded to struggle against that really tough competition the next couple of weeks, and everybody's then criticizing Mozeliak for having bought. But it seems like Cardinals fans are sold on selling, if you will, regardless of what might happen in that stretch. I think that's the right approach, is at least to be sold on selling those expiring contract pieces, the guys you really have to get something for in order to feel like you're staying on plan, that you're keeping the team pointed in the same direction on the trajectory that it has been. You know, to me, that means unless the offers are just really, really, really poor. If the offers were really poor and the Cardinals went 9-4, 10-3 between now and the deadline, okay, maybe. But if the offers are just fair market value, I think Helsley has to move. I think Maton probably has to move. I think Steven Matz probably has to move. And you do your best from there. You still try to make the wild card, be part of the playoff push, get into October, if possible, to give these young guys their experience. But you accept that probably World Series is not happening no matter what. Probably National League pennant not happening no matter what. And it's best to keep the build on for the future. This has been Sports Open Line, brought to you by Graybar. For producer Kyle Sixta, Nate Gatter saying talk to you again tomorrow, right here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.